Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How to fight well. Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca. Today is February the 12th, and we have an interesting career article called Conflict with Coworkers. But first, I'd like to invite a coworker, a wonderful coworker, to the program. We don't have too much conflict usually, and his name is Peter. Peter, welcome.
Hi, Rebecca. Hello, everyone. Good to be here.
Peter, it's great to have you on the program. And I think we don't have too much conflict, right? We get along pretty well.
Pretty well, by and large, yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad I'm co-hosting a program with someone I can get along very well. But Peter, today we will be talking about conflict. And we were talking off air how useful this article is because conflict can happen anywhere, not just in the office. It can happen at home. It can happen in the supermarket. It can happen anywhere.
Absolutely. That's why I loved your tagline introduction just now when you said how to fight well. That was actually something I was once, when I was engaged to be married, I went to a marriage counseling session at my church, and the pastor said, one thing we're going to teach you here today, one of the big themes of the teaching today, is teaching you how to fight well. And this was for people who are planning to get married.
Yes.
Because fighting, you know, differences, let's say, are such a part of marriage that fights are inevitable. So rather than teaching you in some way how to avoid fights altogether, let's learn how to fight well, because fights are inevitable. And I thought that was very wise, and I'm glad that we're able to use it in the article today.
Peter, I think it's very wise. You said that fights are inevitable. Something that is inevitable means it's going to happen for sure,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the office, like many places, we will have differences of opinion, different ways of doing things. So there's, and sometimes even just different visions.
Right.
So there's definitely going to be conflict. So today's article is really useful because it will teach us how to fight better and how to fight well. But before we leap into that, Peter, I'd just like to ask you, in general, do you think you like to avoid conflict? Are you someone who doesn't really enjoy conflict? Or you're someone who is pretty comfortable just leaping into conflict? Like what
yeah.
Like how would you describe yourself?
I'm unfortunately pretty comfortable leaping into conflict.
Wow.
I have to watch myself on that.
Right.
If I believe I'm right.
Yes.
You know, if I'm not sure of my position, then, you know, I will strategically avoid conflict until I'm more sure, if ever. But unfortunately, I say this unfortunately, if I'm very sure I'm right, then it is very easy for me to get into a conflict because I'm right, you know, and I want truth to prevail. You know, I want everyone to be right, and I happen to be the one who's right in this case, so let me show you how you're wrong, you know. It's a great temptation. Now, it depends what we mean by conflict, though, of
right.
course, because by conflict, I don't mean shouting and name-calling and throwing things around. I don't mean, that's not, that kind of conflict I always try to avoid. But in terms of quarreling, that's sort of an English word, to quarrel, meaning to try to show that the other person is wrong, rather than just try to hurt them or vent your anger in some way, I can very easily be drawn into a quarrel, into that kind of conflict. So yeah, I have to be careful.
Okay, that's actually a really good perspective. I was a little surprised because many of us are conflict averse, and we'll get into the word averse very soon. But averse just means to be something that you're very unwilling to do and something that you really don't like. And for the most part, I think I'm pretty conflict averse.
Hmm.
Like, I would really prefer not having to fight it. Like, I would rather, like, just, you know, keep on doing like what I've always been doing and not fight it out with someone if I can get away with it.
Mm.
But as this article will show us later, that's usually not a very good strategy.
Yeah.
So we have to learn how to be better at conflict and how to do conflict better if there's such a thing. Do conflict better.
Fight well.
How to fight better. How to fight well. And that's really important. So let's get right into it. Let's get into our first reading for today. And we'll be talking about how to fight better with colleagues, with family members, with loved ones. Let's start.
Conflict with coworkers. Make conflict productive rather than painful. Workplaces are remarkably conflict-averse. Many people don't like to give criticisms to someone else directly, let alone hash out a disagreement over a path forward or address a conflict of values. As a result, we kick many conflicts down the road in ways that create problems. We lead people to believe we agree with them when we don't, and we fail to address small concerns early on when they can be fixed. This failure to act can turn a molehill into a mountain. That said, it is not always good to engage conflict directly or immediately. Here's what you can do to make those conversations productive.
Peter, let's start from the top. So we have the word averse, and we have the description, workplaces are remarkably conflict averse. So when you're averse to something, you're really unwilling to do it. Conflict averse.
Right. You don't like to do it.
Yes. We also use the word averse to talk about risk, right? A lot of times we talk about
if
investing.
If you don't like risk, yeah.
You say that people who really want to avoid risk, they do not like risk.
Right.
They are risk averse.
Yeah.
Right? So this word is often seen with whether it's conflict or risk. When someone really doesn't like it, we say conflict averse, risk averse. Yes, we use that quite often. So in the workplace, at work, we don't like to have conflict, huh?
Right, yeah. And you can see why. Because we have to go to work. We have to spend so much time there every day for a good reason, you know, in order to earn the money to pay the bills, support the family. And so we don't want, we are motivated to avoid conflict at work just because, we may have a conflict in other parts of our lives and we need an oasis. You know, we need a safe spot. We need a quiet spot where we won't have conflict. And, you know, that's maybe a bit of a pipe dream, but nevertheless, it does result. I think that's why workplaces do tend to be conflict averse.
Yes. And we don't like to give direct criticisms to others, right? We don't like to directly criticize other people or tell them they are wrong. And I think perhaps this trend is even more strong in Asia because there is a habit of being indirect. It's kind of a culture here. It's not in a workplace. A lot of times we don't say what we truly feel, like we'd rather put it inside because especially in a society that has a lot of hierarchy. There's a lot of layers, like who is on the top, who is on the bottom, and many layers in between. Sometimes it's just easier not to show what you really think.
Yeah.
It's just easier to play it safe. Yeah. And then so a lot of people don't like to give criticisms and then hash out. I'm hungry. Are we talking about hash browns here?
No.
My favorite potatoes, hash browns.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great if conflicts could be solved just by everyone sitting down to a plate of hash browns? But no, hashing out something here simply means to discuss the issue very thoroughly, very carefully, with the goal of reaching an agreement. There's a hash out means that you have taken, both sides have taken considerable effort to go through the issue, work them through, and maybe there's, some frustration along the way, but you stick with it. You keep pushing forward until finally you do find an agreement or a way forward which both sides can agree with. To hash something out in that way means to be thorough, be careful, and, to take effort and time to do it.
Yes, and a lot of times we kick the can down the road when it comes to conflicts. So here, in the sentence we have, we kick many conflicts down the road, but the full idiom is we kick the can down the road, right? So kicking the can down the road. And I wonder, this idiom, are we saying you don't want to deal with the problem right now, so we'll just leave it for later?
Right.
So why a can? Is it like garbage on the street? like a can on the street, and nobody wants to pick it up. So we just kick it down the road and say, oh, maybe the next person will pick up the garbage.
Yeah, yeah. I think there was once in the early 20th century America a game, a street game that kids would play, which involved kicking a can. And if there was a street they played it on, you could call a street a road also. So I don't know the nature of the game, but I just have this vague memory one time of hearing, oh, that's what kick the can down the road means. It's based on this early 20th century street game that kids used to play. But readers would probably want to do their own investigation.
We kick the can down the road just meaning we just don't deal with the problem now.
Right.
We think it'll probably just magically go away, or it might not be an issue down the road.
Right.
Now, this is actually really, really dangerous sometimes, because a lot of times when we don't deal with the problem, then we make a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm.
Peter, I need you to explain molehill, because right before the program, we're talking about moles. Now, this is not an animal that most of us living in the city has ever seen.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And yeah. What is a molehill?
Well, a mole can be a little growth on your skin, actually, that's usually dark-colored and can sometimes indicate a serious disease, but not necessarily. But no, the molehill, the mole of the molehill that we're talking about here is a small, furry animal, kind of like a rat, but friendlier than a rat. But just to give you an approximate size, it lives underground in these actually vast underground networks of tunnels and passages, and you can, you know, at the entrance to these tunnels and passages where it lives, there's a little raised heap of earth, you know, just maybe a couple inches or centimeters high or so. But that's called a mole hill because it shows that that is a mole hole around which this little hill of earth has formed. So it's something very small and something that is alliterative when you use it in the same expression as mountain, molehill, mountain. Alliterative, they both start with the same sound. And so a molehill is something very small, a mountain is something very big.
So usually the idiom we use, the precise idiom, is don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yes, normally it's the other way around compared to how the author uses it here. You know, don't make something big out of something that's really not that big, that's really small. But here the author says that the failure to act, if we're always kicking the can down the road in terms of dealing with conflict at work, that can over time turn a molehill into a mountain, turn something which is really very small into something big.
Okay, so don't turn your molehills into mountains.
And don't make a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah. So it's a small hill, small, tiny molehill, kind of like an anthill.
Right,
and
right.
It's tiny. So don't make it into something very, very big, right? So this is important. And then the thing of molehills is they can get bigger. With any of these animal kind of like homes, they can get bigger.
Sure, sure.
Right? Like if you don't address it, it can just get bigger and bigger.
Right. Well, a literal molehill would probably stay the same size.
Okay.
But the figurative use here is the problem that begins as just a molehill. If you don't address it, if you just kick the can down the road, then over time the problem can grow to the size of a mountain because you didn't address it.
Yes. There's kind of a snowball effect.
Yes.
Maybe a snowball is a better metaphor.
Yeah.
It'll just, the snowball as it rolls down the hill gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So it starts as a small thing and it gets bigger and bigger. So friends, we need to find ways to address conflict early and address conflict well. So we will go over 4 tips today and tomorrow on how to deal with conflict better. Let's get into our first tip.
Don't let emotions escalate the conflict. There is often an emotional reaction that goes along with any disagreement. A strong emotional reaction comes along with energy. That energy drives you to want to act. Unfortunately, when the energy level is quite high, you may act without reflecting deeply on what you're doing. In order to make your disagreements as productive as possible, it is best to wait for any initial energy associated with the disagreement to subside. That way, you can focus your discussions on a good give and take. In addition, it can be valuable to take time to think through what you want to say to someone else, as well as what you're hoping to accomplish from the interaction.
Peter, first let's look at the title. There's a word I want to talk about is escalate, because we've used escalate on Advanced many times.
Yes.
And in the past, sometimes in a business setting, we say to escalate the problem up. It just means to turn a problem over to a higher level manager, because
right.
that problem is too hard for you to solve, or it's not in your range that you can solve.
Right.
But here we're talking about the traditional way we use escalate.
Yes, yes.
And what is this escalating the conflict here?
Well, with regard to conflict, escalate, you know, an escalator in a mall, in a department store, simply takes you higher or lower through the store. But when we're talking about conflict or fighting or violence, even an escalation in the conflict means that it becomes worse.
Yes. We see this word in the news a lot.
Right.
The conflict has escalated.
Exactly.
Over time. So our first tip is don't let emotions escalate the conflict. And Peter, let's break it down. How do emotions escalate a disagreement?
Emotions escalate everything. And that's why that's one thing emotions do so well. If we see something that makes us happy, that emotions will escalate the happiness that we're getting from it. If we share that happiness with someone, you know, a favorite book or a movie or a beautiful sunset. But in a negative sense, emotions, when they arise out of conflict, escalating the emotions make it harder and harder to address the conflict, because emotions have a life of their own. They have an energy of their own. And that energy, which can motivate us, like a sports team that's losing the game, and then the coach gives them a passionate, emotional speech about how they got to bear down and do better, that can motivate them to play better and maybe even win the game. But in a conflict, that kind of stirring up of the emotions, that escalation of the emotions, can escalate the conflict and just make people who are already angry or upset more angry and upset. And then it becomes about the emotions and not about the conflict.
Yeah. So this is very interesting here. Like, here we have kind of a tip that works with our physiology, like how our body reacts, right? Because like when you are angry, you get a surge of energy.
Yeah.
And I wonder if any of us have felt this. I know I have. Sometimes you're really tired and then you get into a fight and then suddenly you have so much energy.
Yeah.
Like that anger brings so much energy.
Yeah.
So like emotions do give you a lot of energy. And here it goes on to say that energy drives you to want to do something.
Yeah.
Like you can't just sit there with all this energy. You got to do something with it. So a lot of times this is when we escalate the fight, like we fight harder because we suddenly, our body feels like a rush of energy.
Exactly.
And I think that's why a lot of experts will tell you that when you're in this situation where you're feeling a lot of emotion, you're feeling a lot of anger, the best thing is to do a timeout.
Yeah.
Get out of the room.
Mm,
like go for a walk.
Exactly.
Or go take a hot cold shower. Do something, but just don't stay in the room.
Right. Like it says in the second paragraph there, wait for any initial energy associated with the disagreement, with the conflict, to subside, meaning to diminish, to become lower, to decrease, to subside. And that way you can focus your discussions on a good give and take. Give and take, a nice sort of noun phrase there, just means a willingness between two people or two groups to understand each other and to let each other have or do some of the things they want. Basically, it means to discuss, to hash out even some sort of agreement when you have give and take, because like the phrase suggests, you know, you give a little, you take a little, and that means it's another word for negotiating, really, in a way, working out your differences rather than just, you know, calling each other names or being angry or throwing things, just, you know, sort of venting those emotions. You want to get to a point where you can have some give and take, some back and forth, so that you can resolve the conflict and find a way forward.
Yes, and it gives us also more time to think on what we should say, right? Because a lot of times when you're feeling emotional, you have that rush of energy, you just say anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of times our words are extremely hurtful. I mean, the phrase I was thinking of, I can't think of the right thing, but sometimes words cut deeper. Mm-hmm. Your words can cut really, really deep.
Oh, yes. Yeah, deeper words, than any sword.
Exactly. Words cut deeper than any sword. That's the phrase. Well, friends, we need to get into our next tip. And the next tip is very interesting. It tells us we need to set a goal when we're fighting. So let's get into our second tip.
Determine your goal. Addressing conflict is inherently difficult. It can put strain on a relationship in the short term. So there has to be some benefit to going through the process. When you're exploring whether to engage directly with someone about a disagreement, you want to highlight what you hope to gain from the conversation. Start by highlighting your ideal end state. Are you trying to make someone aware of a problem they might not know about? Are you trying to influence someone's behavior? Are you trying to change a decision that was made in the past?
So, taking on conflict or addressing conflict is inherently difficult. Oh, I love this word, inherent.
Yeah.
Yes, inherent. So something that's inherently difficult, it's just difficult by its nature.
By nature, yeah.
By nature, it's difficult, right?
Yeah, it just is like that. It's part of its essence.
Yes. So something that's inherent, it just exists.
Right. Exercise is inherently difficult, and it's meant to be because it challenges the muscles to grow from that challenge. Exercise that is not difficult is not really exercise.
That's a good point. So, but exercise is like relationships in a way. So if you put strain on a relationship, that relationship could potentially grow. Could potentially collapse. It could go either way.
Just like if you put strain on a muscle and you overwork it or you don't give yourself enough rest, then you do more harm to the muscle than good.
Yeah. So we have to find that perfect balance. So we have to have some benefit to have to fight, right? So what does it tell us to do?
Right. Well, it says determine your goal. And I think this might be, for me, the most important of all four of our tips. I know we still have two more to go, but determine your goal, I think that's just so important. There's an expression in English, pick your battles.
Yes.
Pick your battles, meaning you can't fight every single conflict that comes up. Some of them you have to kind of surrender or walk away from instead of always trying to fight to win, because there'll be nothing left of you otherwise. You've got to decide which ones you're going to focus on, which ones you're going to put your energy behind. And that, I think, is very similar to having a goal. So that the conflict is not just about, again, venting emotions, but that you have a specific goal that you're trying to work for, an end state, like the author says in the last paragraph there. What is your end state? How does this whole situation look like at the end? Is it that you're trying to make someone aware of a problem? You're trying to influence their behavior? You're trying to change a decision that's been made? And see, because this is wise, because some of these are things that you might think twice about whether you should do at all.
Right. Whether you should address the problem.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times, especially at work, there are things that we just can't change.
Right.
It's simply not changeable.
Right.
So if it's not changeable, it's probably not worth that conflict. Because if it's not going to, if you're not able to change the issue in any way, maybe we just have to learn to accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a really wonderful poem, and it tells us that we, like, when we look at problems, we have to separate into categories. There's one category is you need strength. You ask God for strength because you need to change that problem. You need to address that problem. You need to fix that problem. And then there's another category of problems where you just have to accept this is the way it is.
Right.
That we can't change. Like, there's some things that cannot be changed.
Right.
And
right.
We just have to have the wisdom and the patience to accept it.
Exactly.
And then the end of that quote, it says, we have to have the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
Even know the difference between the problems that we can change and should change and the problems we just have to accept this is the way the world is. We will never be able to change some things.
Right, right. And that's why I think determine your goal is such an important step, because it forces you to think about what is really at the root, what is for you at the root of the conflict, and is it something that you know, you really can realistically change or achieve, or is it just, you know, a frustration that you might have to just live with to, you know, for the common good, to fit into the bigger picture of things. So, determining your goal, very important step.
This is really important. And this is actually a very interesting point. Like we talked off air before the program that a lot of times, like when we're dealing with things involving money, like for example, you're buying a new car or you are looking for a new apartment to rent, we will spend a lot of time thinking of the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
We will think of the end price.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a price in our head. So if I can get that apartment for this amount, like let's say for 1,500 US, I will get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's over 1,500 US, it's too expensive for my budget.
Right.
So in our head, we often have an end goal when it comes to numbers, when it comes to money. But just as importantly, when we are deciding whether to confront this problem, whether to deal with this conflict, we also need to think of the end goal. And a lot of us just don't, including me.
Right.
A lot of times I don't think of the end goal. I just want to be right.
Right. Especially if we're still in the grip of our emotions. And that's why the first tip is also important. Don't let emotions escalate the conflict. That may be the hardest part of dealing with conflict, is walking away from the energy that those emotions give you. Because
yes.
Like we said, that's why it's so easy to stay in the grip of an emotion, because there's an energy there. There's a vitality there. There's a, yeah, let's go get them kind of energy. And the thing is, we need to be able to walk away from that and look clearly at the problem, determine the goal so that we can truly make progress rather than just keep riding that wave of emotional energy.
That's right. Well, friends, this brings us to the end of the article. Well, at the end of today's portion of the article, we are not quite done with this article yet. We have two very good tips that we'd like to share tomorrow. So please make sure to come back tomorrow and we'll continue talking about how to fight better. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Peter.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.